I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Howdy, third hour. What's happening? Tinky and Tierney on a Memorial Day Friday. CBS Sports Radio hanging out in our Tinky and Tierney studio. It's the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way. Help provide a seamless mortgage experience as you're cruising around, maybe getting out to the beach, heading somewhere. If you're on 95 anywhere, God bless you, because you ain't going to be moving for a while, which means we got you at least another hour. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206.
What you doing this weekend? You're going out to the...
Going out to my sister's place all the way out east and get a chance to play a little golf with my dad tomorrow.
Oh, that's cool.
Which I have not done since the last time we did it out there a couple of years ago.
Wow.
I used to play with my dad all the time. And I know we're going to take the kids to an animal farm on Sunday. My mom's cooking a little some big Italian feast, seafood on Saturday. We'll hit a restaurant on the water on Sunday, eventually get back to our crib on Monday. What
nice,
are you guys doing?
Nice, cool. I'm getting my older kids tomorrow. My daughter's birthdays are today. My twins, Ella and Riley, are 9. So celebrate their birthday.
That went fast.
It is nuts, geez. Right? They were babies when we first started doing this
show. 9 years old.
Tomorrow,
wow.
I think
we're
taking the boys. Mm-hmm. To a concert.
Saturdays are for the boys.
Saturdays are the boys. At Radio City. So that'll be cool.
What kind of concert?
Imagine Dragons. So their drummer is part of Culture City, our autism acceptance and inclusion organization. We make venues sensory inclusive, football stadiums, basketball arenas, zoos, restaurants, etc. So he got us tickets to their concert.
Is that the Asian group?
No.
What's that 1-8?
No, I know what you're talking about, but it's not them.
Because they were on the Oscars.
Yes.
Oh, they were on the Grammys.
Yes.
Yeah. And they performed. They were incredible. I'm like, who are these kids?
Yeah. No, not them.
They're phenomenal, but not them. Gotcha.
Not them. All right. Then Sunday, we'll just hang by our pool, which is now open, as we talked about. Monday, we'll barbecue somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, somewhere.
You know, somewhere. We don't know.
Knock on somebody's door?
No, because we have so many friends that have kids that are the same age as my younger kids, not my older kids. And they all just like, hey, we don't want to go anywhere.
Exactly.
Let's just cook in the backyard.
That's the one challenge. We're still
meeting really
neighbors.
You can't really go anywhere.
You know, we're still...
Yes, where you are.
Everybody's new. So it's
Gymboree.
Gymboree. Okay.
Gymboree. That's where you meet all the friends.
Yeah, but after a while, Gymboree gets old.
It gets very old.
You get to a certain... Like, the first few birthday parties are awesome. Then it becomes a little tedious, let's be honest. Going to the same climbing places, you have pizza, you have soda, you have a little cake, get a balloon, get a goodie bag, like they need more candy on the way home,
we
get all hopped up.
Do we have to go?
You know, and you don't want to say that because it goes fast, and eventually those parties, they stop coming.
You're right.
But they do pile up, and they seem to, like, when they go away for a while, but then you forget they come back and they hit you like a tsunami.
Yeah, you're right.
It's like a party tsunami.
You're
wham, 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 wham. You're like, five in 2 weeks. Help! Get me out of here. All right. You think Chris Paul, speaking of getting me out of here, let's get to the situation. We touched on it yesterday.
Interesting.
It is. It's at the very least, it's interesting. Possibly at the other end of the spectrum, it is incredibly acrimonious to the point where maybe you need to resolve this in only one possible way.
Yep.
You think the Rockets need to find a way? They obviously have to get better. That's not debatable. They need to get better. More shooters. They need to get better.
Yep.
Do they need to maybe pick up the phone and see if there's any interest in Chris Paul this offseason?
I mean, you always have to do that. There's a couple of guys that are untouchable on a team. James Harden is one. So this feud or tense moment is being classified as between James Harden and Chris Paul at the final moments of that game 6. You know, there's only one moving part, and that's Chris Paul.
Yep.
So you have to, but I kind of like who's going to be interested in Chris? He's had a great a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah.
Even though that's not saying a ton, but it's still, he's been really, really, really good over the course of his career. But he's always had this stigma or perception or it's really just reality that he can't take that next step. Something always happens.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's his fault. Some of it's not. Maybe it is. I don't know. It's like this. He's got this odd place in basketball history, current basketball history.
I think all-time basketball history. Yeah. He's in an interesting space
because he's so good.
Yep.
Right. And he's got and there's like that intangible too. He's like a little bit of an ass. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah, he's a pit bull. He's tough as nails.
To have, but there's something always happens. Whether it's an injury, like we saw last year, whether it's whatever happened at the end of Game Six, a game, you know, where they're playing against the Warriors without Kevin Durant. And there's a just disconnect, whether it was with who, you know, possession, ball movement, whatever was happening. There's always something, and so I don't know if he's going to be as desirable as he should be. I guess is the way to put it. The Rockets are in an interesting place too. Right?
If they're a stock, I'm selling them. I'm not buying the Rockets right now. And I'm not going to buy them for their future.
Yeah.
Because they've got no financial wiggle room.
Yeah.
Think about this.
Okay, unless they move Chris Paul.
Okay. But if you move Chris Paul, unless you get somebody else, and I don't want to say that Chris Paul's an undesirable asset. I don't mean that.
He's not.
But the money is a problem. So if you want to unload a little bit of money, you're going to have to take on somebody else's money to somewhat offset that somewhat. He's due $38.5 million next season, $41.3 million the year after that.
That's nuts.
The next year, he's got a player option. There's no way in hell he's opted out of that because he's not getting, this is it. The gravy train's over.
You're right.
$44 million player option in 21-22. Who's trading for that?
Nobody.
I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot ball.
Right.
I wouldn't touch it.
So they're stuck. And so they have to, and we talked to Tillman Fertitta a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
He knows where they are. They're so close. But how do you build, right? They're in a spot where they can't build unless pieces that they already have. I guess Clint Capella is the biggest one you look at. They improve their game. But is Clint Capella all of a sudden going to turn into a shooter?
No.
No.
No
because
chance.
He's never been at,
no
never
chance.
Been asked to do it. Never.
No chance.
Guard the rim and, you know, roll off the pick and roll and be ready for, you know, a high lofter.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically all they tell him to do.
Yeah.
And so I can't see how they're going to get better unless they just internalize it. That's such a, like this, I don't know, soft, squishy way of getting better that it's not going to happen, especially not in the West that is continually improving.
Listen, I think that certainly Chris and James will find a way to get back to that center balance. I'm not worried about their relationship.
I'm not either.
I'm not worried about that dooming the franchise. Look,
they're two great competitors.
Uh-huh.
Who in a very frustrating moment, losing to the Warriors without Kevin Durant, went at each other a little bit.
Yeah, that happens. It's not a big deal.
Of course it does.
But what is a big deal is what I just laid out before. 38.5, 41.3, 44.2. You know, and Chris Paul, and again, he is a pit bull. He's ferocious. But you look at him, you know, his body's changed a little bit, getting a little thicker.
Right.
Just that natural. He doesn't, you know, when an athlete.
Age, man.
You just know. You can. I remember, like, his Patrick Ewing used to get a little bit older. The rolls in his neck used to get a little thicker. I'm like, my boy Pat's getting a little bit old.
Yeah.
When he came in as a young buck, he was lean.
But he was a 7-footer.
Yeah, so you could actually kind of carry that weight a little.
It didn't matter.
Yeah,
didn't
sure,
matter.
Especially back then with the 7-footers were pretty much, you know, he had a jump shot. He had a great one.
Yep.
But he wasn't, you know, 25 feet away from the rim. He might work the baselines and the foul line extended, that 15-foot J. But, no, Pat was primarily in the paint. But for it's even worse. Chris Paul's a point guard.
Yeah.
And, you know, and again, he's been able to – he's never been that – he never had that – like, who's a thin – but he's never had a Westbrook body.
Like that uber athletic.
No.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Always played below the rim, which is part of his brilliance because he's such – his IQ is through the roof. And he holds people accountable. He's smart. He's a leader. Think about his role in the Players Association.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's got the respect of his peers.
Of course.
But the Rockets, to me, I mean, it's over.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul and James Harden next season are making $80 million combined.
Wow.
Then you throw in Capella. That's $100 million for three guys who already aren't good enough to beat the Warriors.
And that's the top. Like the luxury tax bill line is 101, right?
It's right around there. Yeah. I don't know. Right around there.
There are three guys.
Right around there.
So you look at the West right now, BT. Golden State, even if they lose KD, are still going to win 56, 5, 7, whatever. They're going to win 50-something, high 50 games, right? They're not. Houston's not jumping them. Denver's only going to get better, we assume.
Mm-hmm.
Portland.
And they got Porter coming back. Porter, the kid that they drafted from Missouri.
Yes, who didn't play because of injury.
Well, he played like one. He played like 9 minutes his first, as a member, as a rookie.
Yep.
Pardon me, as a freshman. And then he played like a half of a college game.
Yep.
Then he hurt his back.
Yep.
If he ever pans out to get, I mean, if he ever gets right, who knows what he's going to be?
Portland, I suspect, will kind of like sit neutral.
Yeah.
I think
they're going to take a step back.
Well,
because
maybe.
The sit neutral means they're, you know, they're.
Well, I can see CJ McCollum becoming more viable. More of the star. He's still young.
Yeah, he's 27. I mean? No, he's right in his prime. No doubt about.
You know, when Dame was shut out or shut down or slowed down a little bit in the postseason,
The rib issue, he was banged up
against
Warriors.
He's showing up. So I'm gonna, just for argument's sake, I'm putting Portland neutral.
All right,
where they are, they were the 3 seed. They won 53 games. I'll leave them there. Houston is right there, tied with them, but then the Jazz, mm-hmm. Oklahoma City,
mm-hmm.
San Antonio, who I think San Antonio has to add some pieces, but still, it's San Antonio and it's Pop.
Yep.
And he's going to be there for a couple years. The Clippers are going to get better. Sacramento's going to get better.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen with the Lakers? But there's a bunch of teams that I see jumping Houston because Houston can't go anywhere.
You factor in Phoenix? What if Phoenix finally takes a step forward?
I didn't factor in Phoenix because they're sitting at the
bottom. They got a good coach now.
They got a good coach. They got stocked with young talent.
Yep. And they got another one coming.
And obviously, the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah.
Who
I almost forgot about Dallas.
Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
And Kristaps Porzingis and some other pieces. They could take some steps. I look at the West and every team, save for New Orleans, unless New Orleans may, who knows? We don't know what's going to happen with AD and
he's
Zion.
He's not going to be on the team.
But still.
Don't give him false hope. He's not going to be on the team.
But you know what I mean. New Orleans is going to be interesting. They're not going to be good, but they're going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of teams in the West that I see it moving upwardly.
I agree with that.
Right?
Yeah.
Except for Houston.
I would agree with that, too.
Right?
And I don't even think Houston's lateral. I think next year we start to see a little, I don't know if it's just, you know, just this implosion. I'm not saying that they're going to be a playoff team, mm-hmm. but I think unless they do something radical, but I'm not sure what they could do. Now, thank God you shed yourself of Amon Shumpert's wasted $11 million.
Yeah.
What a waste that was. Gerald Green's off the books, but he was making peanuts. So was Austin Rivers making peanuts, $1.1 million, peanuts for relative to the NBA. Gordon's got another year. I mean, can you find a team? Can you package, even though Gordon's good, but then to get something good back, you're going to have to give up something somewhat appealing. Can you find a way to package? I'm looking at the rest of their roster. They don't have many. Yeah, they're stuck. I mean, I could examine these numbers all day and night. I don't know what they're going to do.
I don't know. I don't know. And, you know, like this fight, we're really dissecting this fight. Is this fight a big deal?
No.
It's not, but it is telling. Because I don't know if that frustration that we can sense from the outside as we try to, you know, manipulate this roster
mm-hmm.
is also the reality that James Harden and CP3 understand, right? This was our shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were here,
mm-hmm.
and we let it go. What's next year going to hold?
And you believe there is a possibility, even if they start on opening day and media day,
mm-hmm.
we're good. It's my teammate. You believe based on the natural growth of the rest of the conference and maybe some natural attrition from within their own roster that CP3 and James Harden could be button heads again next season.
Because it's not going to be the same.
Yeah. You know what? When I look at it from that prism, initially I thought, and I do think they'll squash it, but I do think it could resurface. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Because the primary point is that they both have to know in their hearts, we were just knocking on the door. This was our best shot.
Last 2 years.
They're not going to be better next season.
No.
They're lucky if they're as good. So that could boil some frustrations boil over. We'll see. Let's get into this coming up next year. So we've all kind of thrown a bunch of darts at the board. Where's this guy going? Where's that guy going? Free agency 2019, been a theme for so long on the show. Really consumes the sport. LeBron starting to lay out a plan a little bit, doing a little recruiting, making the pitches, making the calls, trying to get some guys. Who are the guys he's trying to get? And do they make sense for what the Lakers have and are trying to build? We'll get to that coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Getting a look at the harbor view, all the boats bouncing around New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go fishing soon.
Been a while.
Yeah, it's been a little while. Got to get back on a boat. Where did I see? I got to get something on LeBron. I got to throw something by you. Where did I see the other day? Forget which website had it, but they were trying to characterize like the best five beers that you could possibly have. Like one was...
Oh, it's impossible now.
No, not the actual beer brand.
Uh-huh.
Like the best moments for a beer.
Oh, I see.
Like
I gotcha.
On a boat,
I
on
gotcha.
A golf
gotcha.
Course,
gotcha.
After a great meal. It was actually pretty good. And I got to tell you, not that I constructed my own list 1 through 5, because I'm not a huge beer guy, but a beer on a boat, when you start pulling off the dock and you know you're going to be fishing for 4, 5, 6 hours, that's a pretty good beer.
I think beer is better after you accomplish something. So when I haven't done this in a few years now,
yeah.
But I used to like mowing my lawn. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I could see that.
It just became like
it's therapeutic.
It was. It was just nobody bothered me for an hour and a half or whatever it was.
Now, did you do it by hand or did you have to
do it by hand?
Yeah.
So and it was great.
Yeah.
And so, but it'd be hot.
Yeah.
And you'd get done and you just sit down. And sense of accomplishment just looking at it.
Yeah.
And you crack a beer.
I could see that.
And it was just, it tasted so amazing.
The post mowing beer.
Yeah.
That's a good, I got you. That's not a bad one. I like that. Okay. So listen, maybe LeBron's, although he's more into wine these days as per his Instagram account,
yes,
as
right.
we could tell. He's going to be toasting somebody eventually, I think, if anybody joins him with the Lakers. And you imagine somehow, some way, somebody is going to go to the Lakers. Now, I don't know who it's going to be. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be Durant. It's not going to be Kawhi. I guess maybe it could be Kyrie, but I still don't think that's happening.
Yeah.
I think Kemba, there's a pretty decent chance that could happen. Because there's no way the Hornets are going to give him $225 million.
It'd be good for Kemba, too.
It would be good for Kemba. Now, reportedly, he's recruiting Kawhi and Jimmy Butler. Mm. All right? I would love to see Butler with... First of all, I would love to see Butler actually stay with Philly. I've said this a few times. He seems to really fit that city. He fit in well. Good rapport. Good synergy with Embiid. He had his back a few times. He could have really blistered him at the post-game presser when he was sick all those games mm-hmm. and going to the bathroom and relatively invisible during critical spots. I thought he really showed some great leadership. But do you think that Butler... Do you think Butler... And Cassandra and I were talking about this during the break. Do you think that Butler and LeBron, forget about their games.
Yeah.
That's the secondary. Do you think that their personalities would mesh?
No.
See, Santa didn't think so either.
No.
I think it could, but you tell me why you say that.
I see Jimmy Butler as, not because he's not an antagonist. And I'm not saying this just to like as a assault on his character, but just he's a little bit of an antagonist. And I think that's why he kind of worked in Philly this season, because they don't have a contrarian as well on that team. It was like the construction of that squad, which is why it's so disappointing that they got knocked out when they did, was kind of perfect, right? You have your long range shooter and J.J. Redick. You got this
and Harris
and Harris exactly. Tobias Harris who came over. You got your monster in the middle and Joel Embiid. Mm-hmm. And Ben Simmons is Ben Simmons. He can't shoot, but he is a creator, right? And he willingly will go to the rim. Even though he didn't take a ton of free throws, which is one of the more baffling, stats of this postseason for the 76ers, is that Ben Simmons never got to the free throw line. But then you put Jimmy Butler in that mix, who is just he's like a Draymond personality, right? And he's energy guy, but he's also like like he holds everyone accountable. I felt like it meshed, like his antagonistic nature meshed
mm-hmm.
with them. I think with LeBron, LeBron will kind of tend to want to say, "This is my team. Stop." And so I can't see it working. You know what I mean?
Because I don't think LeBron's going to say that, because I think LeBron knows he needs help. He's desperate.
Yeah,
he needs help.
I don't know. I just don't. You know the look that LeBron gives when he's disappointed. You see it often. Like he's just kind of like, I mean, really?
Mm-hmm.
I could see him doing that to Jimmy Butler.
I mean, listen, anything's possible, but I feel like you get that look from LeBron, number one, if you're not an intelligent basketball player, and Jimmy Butler is.
True.
And if you don't play hard, and Jimmy Butler does. I feel like it would be
or
some pretty good wind at LeBron's sails.
Yeah, but I think it's also with LeBron. Like, if I set you up and you don't knock it down,
uh-huh.
You're also getting that look. You know what I mean?
So you got to look in the mirror a little bit then.
Of course he does.
You know, when it comes to that.
Of course he does. But
I don't think Jimmy's going to play that game.
It doesn't feel like they're – it feels like at some point, if things are going well, it'll be amazing. But if things hit a rough patch, how do they sort that out? Because they're both strong personalities.
Who do you think is a stronger personality?
Interestingly, I think Jimmy Butler's a stronger personality.
So do I. Right? So do I. I do too.
And
that's why I think it could work.
But here's what happens. What happens? LeBron has whatever. Whatever's going on with LeBron, he does these things. It's nonsense. It's whatever.
Okay. You mean off the court?
Just playing a social media game. Yes, off, but
taking it
relative. Gotcha. On. And Jimmy Butler just calls him out. Because that's going to happen. What happens?
I don't think LeBron would call him out.
No. Jimmy Butler would call out LeBron.
But I don't think LeBron. Oh, you mean so even if LeBron in that other stuff, isn't directly calling out Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, no, he's talking about something else.
You think that Butler would basically hit the brakes and say, "Not going to fly," something like that?
Yes.
He might.
Yes.
Be good for us.
As soon as someone who's challenged LeBron, teammate, there hasn't been any.
Who's really, really
there's nobody with the personality
him.
To do it. So when Jimmy Butler, this is hypothetical, obviously, challenges LeBron as they're both Lakers, how is that getting played? I don't think well. That's why I can't see.
Listen,
it.
You know I'm not. Because
I think Jimmy Butler challenges people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why he respects Joel Embiid, because Joel Embiid comes right back at him, right? And Joel has got that, like, personality. It's just like, are you talking to me? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, he's just got that, like authoritative personality. And so Jimmy Butler felt okay challenging him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when you heard him in the postseason talking about his illness, there was like this respect. You could tell.
Which is the opposite of what was going down in Minnesota.
Exactly.
He thought the guys weren't, the young players weren't
you,
playing
you
too hard.
You could tell that there was a respect.
Yeah.
And that didn't
yeah.
come just from being around each other. That came from them challenging each other.
Now, let me ask you this, though, just to throw this in there. And I don't know the answer, but I'm just, was Jimmy Butler maybe just playing the game? Because Jimmy Butler is street smart enough to know and savvy enough to know.
No.
Hey, if this thing goes sideways and I call out Embiid, there's going to be another team that I'm that now. It's it might affect what I get this summer.
I don't think he has a filter, man. I think Jimmy.
Jimmy Butler is smart like a fox.
I do too, but I don't think he has a filter. I think if he really felt something about somebody, he'd mm-hmm. say it.
Yeah, I mean,
he will.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to sugarcoat
and,
on this.
And I know if he's playing against LeBron, because we see it from afar. Like, come on, LeBron. See, really? Jimmy Butler will call him out. And how will LeBron handle that?
Okay, so who's playing with LeBron?
I don't know. I mean, this recruitment thing that's been part of LeBron's entire career, at least his championship career, winning championship career, I don't know if it works anymore.
But who did he really recruit?
I mean, he had to recruit
Dwayne
himself.
Dwayne Wade recruited him, basically.
He had to recruit himself to Miami.
True.
Right? And then they went and got Chris Bosh.
Kyrie was already there. Kyrie Love was acquired. I mean, who has he really gone out and said,
as a
borderline peer, I need you. Nobody.
That's a good
I need
a great
you to join
point.
Me.
It's a great point.
So we don't even know if he's good at that.
He's put teams together with, like, the James Joneses of the world.
Sure. Yeah. Like the spot up shooter, the backup forward. Yep. No, I understand that.
Kyle Korver, et cetera.
Yep.
And they all appreciate the hell out of him.
Oh, yeah.
But to appear? No, it hasn't been other than Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
But that was really more Dwayne Wade.
Mike was saying, I said we were talking about this during the break. Mike, open up your mic. Mike was getting on Kawhi for answering the phone. And he's like, well, LeBron, you know, shut off his phone when he... I said, Mike, that was the activation of the playoff mode pertaining to social media. I'm sure when his phone rang for business, he answered it. So he actually thinks Kawhi should not... I'm like, what, is he going to send it to voicemail? Oh, it's LeBron. I can't talk him in the playoffs.
Yes.
Well, come on. It's
yes,
so unrealistic.
If your coach is calling, it's the playoffs, right? And if you're Kawhi and right now you want greatness and you want to show greatness... What I mean, you're locked in.
But here's the other
question.
You
can talk to your teammates, you can talk to your friends, your family, but like, why are you talking to LeBron James?
But why would LeBron think it's okay to call Kawhi Leonard in the middle of the postseason and recruit him to the Lakers?
And listen, I think LeBron right now is desperate with all the junk that's going on around the Lakers. But if you're Kawhi, like you see that number coming in, you probably already have LeBron's number, unless it's just like, you know, a block number restricted. You probably know that LeBron is calling you or texting you or DMing you or whatever. Just don't respond.
Yeah.
Right, like, why is KD in the middle of the playoffs talking and DMing with Chris Broussard? Like, what are you doing?
Because, Mike, I have news for you. You know, as much as fans would like to think that this is how players view the month and a half of you know, time leading up to the championship, I don't care even if you're Steph Curry. Steph Curry does not wake up on an off day and say, oh, my God, the next game. Oh, geez, I can't wait to.
No, but you also
play golf.
Yeah. No, fine, go play golf. Go to the club and hang out with your friends. Go to a party. I don't care about that, but like, if KD's having a conversation with Kyrie in the middle of the playoffs, like, that's weird. They're on different teams.
So what? So you think that
now here's the thing. Now, if they're friends, like, if
they're best friends.
Well, no,
Durant.
If LeBron
and
is
Kyrie.
Calling, yeah, if LeBron's calling CP3 or Melo, different story.
Nobody's calling Melo these days. We haven't heard poor Melo's not getting many calls.
If LeBron's calling him because they're boys.
Yeah.
LeBron's not boys with Kawhi.
Yeah.
The only reason why LeBron's calling Kawhi is
because he wants him on his team.
Yeah, so if you're Kawhi.
And that's odd. So I agree.
If a friend is calling you from another team, fine.
You agree with him?
I just think it's
odd.
It's
just weird.
That he would call to recruit.
It's a big deal.
And then it's
the
weird
guy
to
when
call
he's in
and it's weird to answer.
You don't think you can compartmentalize as a pro athlete? You don't think you have a 30-minute phone
Probably.
Conversation and still be fully engaged and locked into
your
job that night?
Why are you thinking about...
Of course you can.
No, hey, Kawhi, this is LeBron. Hey, good luck tonight.
Back of all these
guys'
minds.
By the way, when you're thinking about this offseason, think about coming out to L.A.
Of course.
I mean, that's just weird, though.
In the back of all these guys' minds, of course they're thinking about next year. Of course they are, right? But you're in the middle of the playoffs. Like, you should be focused on what's happening now, right? If you want to call LeBron to ask him, hey, how do I stop Giannis? Fine.
Yeah.
If you're talking to LeBron about, like, what am I doing in 2 months to sign and where am I going to go, how much money I'm going to get, that's weird. And I'm not saying that these guys shouldn't be thinking about it, but you should certainly not be taking recruiting calls while you're on a current team trying to win a championship.
I
got to
tell you, the bigger issue is, why is LeBron telling people he's doing this?
Now, that's something I could probably get behind.
That's what I don't understand.
Yeah. Now, but that he didn't actually come out. Did he say it? No, it's been intimated.
It's a report, but here's the thing. Nothing reported about LeBron is accidental.
No.
Ever.
Ever. You're right.
Right? So, like, for example, we were just talking about this during the break before we head to this next break, but he liked a picture of Kawhi in a Lakers jersey. Kyrie in a Lakers jersey.
Yeah.
Nothing LeBron does is accidental. Whether it's just to stir the conversation or to show Kyrie, hey, I'm down for you getting your butt over here. Whatever he did it on purpose.
Kawhi and Kyrie with LeBron in L.A.
Which L.A.? Maybe LeBron's going to look to get to the Clippers.
No, Lakers. Imagine
that. That's not going to happen. So you think they're going to wind up with Kyrie and Kawhi? Stop.
Maybe.
That would destroy my summer. Because then I would have to think that Durant would be like, all right, I got to stick with the Warriors if I want to win. I have nobody to run with. That would leave me, I would be destroyed.
That's funny.
My basketball soul would be crushed. I never hope that you're more wrong than what you just laid out. Let's get an Axe update, see what's cooking, come back. We've got a little blast for you, send you into the weekend. Rich Ackerman right now.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, time to answer or ask the pros question of the day here on Tiki and Tierney, brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question, short and sweet, Anthony Harney. His Twitter handle is A_HARNT. And Anthony tweets us, more superstar pressure. That's a good question. It's short, but it is a good one. More pressure, Giannis or Kawhi in Game 6? That is a good question.
It is, because of what this means to Toronto to win at home, get to the finals for the first time. I'm gonna say Giannis, though, just simply because of what's staring me right in the face. They have to win, and he has to have the day.
Okay. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Guarantee low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I'll frame it this way. Let me bring you back here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. If I forget about what happens possibly if there's two games left. I think no matter what, Giannis would take far more heat from Kawhi than Kawhi.
Yeah.
Like in terms of the court of public opinion. Like as we dissect this series, because we're still going to have a day or two before the NBA Finals, a couple days to really let it marinate.
Yeah, Game 7 Sunday.
Game 7 would be Monday, right? Yeah, Game 7's Monday.
Is it Monday or Sunday?
Thursday, Saturday, Monday. I believe, Mike, Michael, double-check. I'm almost sure it was Thursday, Saturday, Monday. And if, we'll have a couple days before the
NBA. Yeah, either way.
NBA Finals, we'll have a little time to, it's Thursday. It was Thursday, Sunday, Saturday, Monday. Right? Thursday, Saturday, Monday. Thanks, Mike. I think that, the ensuing days up to the start of the finals, I feel like Giannis would get hit harder because I still believe the perception is the Bucks have the better team and he's going to win the MVP or Harden.
It's a good point.
And I believe that in
they're supposed to, because the team is constructed right with Brogdon and Chris Middleton and Bledsoe.
Lopez has had his moments.
He picked up Mirtic at the deadline. So, you're right. Like roster construction.
Silva. I mean, they got some players. Even That's why I'm surprised they lost last night.
Did he even play? I think he even played like 3 minutes last night.
Very little. Very little.
I mean, we want to credit Bud. I guess we still do, but he got real short with his bench.
And
his bench got a little tight. And his bench has been what's kind of, I guess, benefited them all season long.
I want to run something by you here. I don't want to just beat the NBA horse to a bloody pulp. If there's nothing there, whatever, we'll move on. I think you have something there that's pretty cool. It's a well-written article. It's always fun. It's down the road. Football's not starting tomorrow. But this gives you a little something to get through those summer days if you really crave and miss football. CBSSports.com. Top 25 NFL players under the age of 25.
Okay.
All right? Now, this tells you.
Saquon's got to be number one.
No. This again, it's subjective, so it doesn't mean that this is necessarily right. But looking at this before the show, I didn't necessarily notice a glaring omission in terms of a name. Mm-hmm. I thought the order was a little bit out of whack, to be fair. Saquon was like 12. Hold on, let me just find it for you, which to me doesn't make much sense, but it's debate-worthy. Yeah. Christian McCaffrey's number 20. Mm. Christian McCaffrey's still only 22 years
young.
Old.
He's young.
Wow. Saquon Barkley's 19th.
Wow.
All right.
Well, they're devaluing running backs then.
Alvin Kamara's 18th. Not necessarily.
Yeah, but they're still in the back end closer to 20 than they are to
Zeke Elliott's 17.
Exactly.
Running backs.
So the running backs are closer to 20 than they are to like 10. Uh-huh. That's interesting.
TJ Watt of the Steelers is 16th.
Uh-huh.
Darius Leonard, who was phenomenal last year, linebacker for the Colts, is 15.
Yep. It's got to be a quarterback as in the top two or three or so.
Patience, young Tiki.
It's got to be.
Quentin Nelson, who might go down, is one of the best outside of Peyton Manning. One of the absolute best choices the Indianapolis Colts have ever made.
Agreed.
He was phenomenal for them. He's 23.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal Adams, my guy for the Jets, number 13. He's still only 23 years of age. Derwin James, outstanding safety for the Chargers, number 12.
Yeah, we forgot to mention him. We were talking about Denzel Ward and Darius Leonard.
It's true. Jared Goff is 11. Now, first of all, you want to put Jared Goff 7 spots in front of Saquon Barkley? I know the devaluation of the running back and the overemphasis of the quarterback, but come on.
Yeah.
Let's see. Bradley Chubb at number 10.
I can see that.
All right. Marshawn Lattimore at number 9 for the Saints. Corner, who we've had on the show.
Yep.
Jalen Ramsey at number 8 for the Jags.
I could buy that.
Did he fall off a little last year, or did we fall off statistically?
It wasn't him. It was a lot of other issues. Their offense was so bad, BT. Like we forget because we just look at defensive statistics that they were put in bad situations a lot.
Hold on though, I thought he dropped off at least per PFF.
Yeah,
graded out as PFF's 28th best cornerback last year.
28. Wow.
28.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah, that's okay. Chris Jones, terrific young player for the Chiefs, 24 years of age, number 7. Number 6 is Daniel Hunter, the edge man for the Vikes. Very good. Baker, number 5. All right.
Quarterbacks.
Uh-huh. Deshaun Watson, number 4.
Got the quarterback.
Myles Garrett for the Browns, still 23 years old, number 3.
That's a little high for Myles Garrett.
I would probably agree with that. I like him. I could probably make a case for a more 8-9-ish.
Yeah, he's missed some time.
Right?
I mean, he's been impactful, but not, like, disruptive to the point where you game plan against him.
Joey Bosa, number 2. Mm. And Mahomes, number 1. Now, I'm going to venture.
One is he. One, that's right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
One is correct.
I'm going to venture to predict if they write a similar article next season,
mm-hmm.
let me tell you who's going to be inside the top 10.
Who?
Sam Darnold.
Really?
I believe so.
This is just wishful thinking, I believe.
No, it's a projection of what I believe to be an already incredibly talented quarterback.
Who's he throwing the ball to?
Probably 12 times a game in the flat. You start with Le'Veon Bell. So right away, you got an 85% completion percentage and a lot of cheap yaks.
That's a good point.
So you start with that.
That's a good point.
All right? Is that a good answer enough for you? Good enough for you?
Because that's hidden yardage, man. That's
bingo.
It's cheap.
Hey.
Effective.
Big Ben benefited for that for years.
No doubt about it.
You know, Mahomes benefited with Kareem Hunt before he was bounced, and even Damian Williams a little bit.
No doubt about it.
You know, it is what it is.
I'm not hating on it. I'm just saying it's not.
He's going to be really good.
So much of a quarterback's success depends on, one, obviously the running back now. About 5 years ago, people didn't think of it that way. But the running back now and also the tight end.
Mm-hmm.
But their tight end is kind of their wide receiver, Anunua.
No, Herndon. Chris Herndon, the kid from Miami,
but I'm
is
talking
their
about
tight end. Anunua's wide receiver.
I know that.
As is Jamison Crowder.
But he's a big body wide receiver.
Yeah, he's physically, it's true. He's more
trust,
like a tight end.
Who you trust throwing the ball to in any situation.
That's correct.
Herndon will be the guy. I mean, I could see them being.
I think the Jets are going to be a really good. I think the Jets are going to be very good. I think they're going to be good this year. I'm not saying 13. The Jets are going to be a good football team.
Mm.
You know what I read about Gase? I know Gase has taken a lot of heat. I read this today. They had the first OTA that was open to the media. So they were able to, kind of take us behind the curtain. You usually don't get to see anything these days. You see him stretch, put the helmet on, and that's it.
Yep.
I love what Gase is doing. There he is. There's crazy eyes for us. How you doing, coach? He put up a huge jumbotron in one of the end zones.
Huh, interesting. All right?
So that as they ran a play, and if there was a mistake, rather than have to go into the meeting to go through it, they literally rewound it immediately on the field so that they absorb it. So that it gets ingrained in their head quicker, and then they can apply what they just saw play.
Never heard that.
That's one thing he did. And the other thing he did is that he's talking to Sam Darnold through a walkie-talkie. Sam can't see him. So he's already getting the process of transferring play, getting it to Sam, rather than, all right, guys, let's run 35 split wham Z, 52
whatever
it is. It's just quick. Here's the play. Get it to your teammates and go.
Mm.
And the way it was written and described in the papers, which is pretty good, is that there's a pace, there's a crispness. And I'm sure one or two other teams do this, but there's a crispness that certainly was not there with Todd Bowles, which will only benefit Sam Darnold.
Yeah. I wonder how much their offense changed, because that's a big thing you worry about with young quarterbacks going through a couple of different systems.
Yeah, I hear you.
And having to relearn terminology and command and understand. I mean, the mechanics of it are all the same, like where to go and against this coverage with this type of play.
Mm-hmm.
But the terminology gap sometimes is what really disrupts players, especially quarterbacks, because you're not speaking the same language. And it's just like with any business. You want to learn how to be, for instance, affordable housing. You got to learn how to talk about affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically, you could get it, but to talk it is different. It's the same thing with quarterbacks. When they got to learn a new offense, it's more about being able to talk to whoever's teaching you than it is about understanding the concepts. That makes any sense.
The concepts, that's easy. That's
of
like
course, they're all
you
the
read
same.
It in a book.
They're all the same.
All right.
Just like you call it X, I call it W.
Or it's like, not to try to one-up you here, maybe this doesn't make any sense, but maybe it's like learning, you learn a language in high school.
Yeah.
Whether you take Spanish, French, German, whatever you might take, Latin.
Spanish, I forgot it all.
Yeah, I hear you. But you start with obviously you have to know the words, and then you go, you learn to conjugate.
Uh-huh.
But then to converse fluently or to actually go Spain and actually have, it's
different.
It's totally
different.
All right. So it's concept versus application. All right, that's it. I'm ready for the – I'm not going to lie to you. I am ready for the weekend.
I am.
I'm ready for a long weekend.
We will see you guys on Tuesday.
We will. Obviously, we're off on Monday. We got our buddy Bill Ryder coming up on the radio side after us. My guy Shine. He's probably – I think he's working today. Time to Shine should be coming up next here on CBS Sports Network. So, obviously, Tuesday, we'll know who's playing in the NBA Finals. We'll know a little bit more maybe about Kevin Durant's health.
Mm-hmm.
And away we go. Yep. So have a great weekend, man.
You as well. Have a safe one out there, all you listeners.
All right. Hit them straight. Catch the fish. Fry the steak. Whatever you got to do. Or turn the steak. Enjoy the time off. Teak and I will recharge the batteries. Come back swinging hard on Tuesday. So enjoy the long weekend. And, of course, everybody who has served us and continues to serve us, God bless you, and fly that flag proudly for sure. Red, white, and blue. We'll see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend. Peace. Gotta go.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.